Greetings in Christ, I'm Pastor Carl Roth. The New Testament reading for today is from Galatians 4:12-31. Brothers, I entreat you, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. You did me no wrong. You know it was because of a bodily ailment that I preached the gospel to you at first, and though my condition was a trial to you, you did not scorn or despise me, but received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus. What then has become of your blessedness? For I testify to you that, if possible, you would have gouged out your eyes and given them to me. Have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth? They make much of you, but for no good purpose. They want to shut you out, that you may make much of them. It is always good to be made much of for a good purpose, and not only when I am present with you, my little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. I wish I could be present with you now and change my tone, for I am perplexed about you. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through promise. Now this may be interpreted allegorically. These women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Now Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, "Rejoice, O barren one, who does not bear. Break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than those of the one who has a husband. Now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. But just as at that time he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so also it is now. But what does the Scripture say? Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. So, brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. In many and various ways God spoke to his people of old by the prophets, but now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son." The historical events in the background of St. Paul's allegory about Hagar and Sarah are found in Genesis chapter 16 and 21. St. Paul's allegory is a figurative interpretation of historical persons and events. Paul uses the narrative of Abraham's two sons born to two different women to illustrate the difference between the futile effort to be justified by works and the only real way to be justified before God, which is by grace, through faith, for the sake of Christ, emphatically not by works of the law. Paul had opponents in Galatia called Judaizers, who were teaching that Christians need not only baptism and faith in order to be saved, but also circumcision and works. These so-called Judaizers would have identified with Sarah and Isaac, and not with Hagar and Ishmael, but Paul says that the Judaizers were closely associated with the slave woman and her son through their loyalty to the law from Mount Sinai. The Judaizers were children of the present fleshly Jerusalem that preached justification by works. By contrast, those who receive justification by grace through faith are children of promise, whether they have a Gentile or a Jewish heritage. Whoever believes in Christ and is baptized has been born of the Jerusalem above, that is free. You might find St. Paul's allegorical interpretation a bit confusing. Martin Luther commented on Galatians 4, "I, for my part, would not have had the courage to handle this allegory in this manner. I would have rather said that Jerusalem is Sarah, or the New Covenant. Therefore, not everyone has the skill to play around with allegories. Allegories do not provide solid proofs in theology, but, like pictures, they adorn and illustrate a subject. For if Paul had not proved the righteousness of faith against the righteousness of works by more substantial arguments, he would not have accomplished anything with this allegory. But because he has already fortified his case with more solid arguments, based on experience, on the case of Abraham, on the evidence of Scripture. Now, at the end of the argument, he adds an allegory as a kind of ornament. For it is very fine, once the foundation has been properly laid and the case has been firmly established, to add some kind of allegory. Just as a picture is an ornament for a house that has already been constructed, so an allegory is a kind of illumination of an oration or of a case that has already been established on other grounds. So far, Dr. Luther. If you are confused about the allegory in Galatians 4:21-31, all you need to do is go back to Galatians 3:21-29, where St. Paul has already established his case on other grounds. There he writes, in very clear and certain terms, "Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? Certainly not. For if a law had been given that could give life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. But the Scripture imprisoned everything under sin, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Now, before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Thanks be to God." Let us pray. Faithful God, you promised to preserve your people and save your inheritance, using unlikely and unexpected vessels in extending the genealogy that would bring about the birth of your blessed Son. Give us the loyalty of Ruth and her trust in the one true God, that we too might honor you through our submission and respect and be counted among your chosen people by the grace of Jesus Christ our Lord and the Holy Spirit, who reign together with you now and forever.